Hello and welcome to the Echo Chamber podcast. My name is Tony Groves, and today we are talking homelessness, people who are living in extreme poverty and deprivation, and some of the supports that where the state have stepped out and services have stepped in. Martin, it's Monday bank holiday morning, and we've got up early because we said yesterday on the show that we needed to cover this.
Yes, and we are up extremely early.
I don't listen. We'll let you off with that. We are delighted to be joined by Lorraine from the Muslim Sisters of ERA, who listeners will know you've heard on the podcast a couple of times. Lorraine, I want to go to the Dublin Homeless Regional Executives report into effectively soup kitchens and basically the services that people like yourselves provide on the streets. And you know, whatever about the necessity of looking at these services and regulating them and making sure that they're delivering for people, some of the stuff I think you found quite distasteful, or at least your organization did. Is that fair to say?
No, I tell you what we did find just very distasteful is an article came out from Ben Yu in the Sunday Times, and it was his kind of, you know, synopsis of the DHL, the Dublin Regional Homeless
Executive
findings.
Yeah.
But he used their picture. Mm. And that we've done a press release about, because all the findings that Mary Higgins did, we are complying by them. We are a HSC registered super. We are a registered charity. The HSC come after us, and I'm going to say come after us because they did. They come after us around last March during lockdown. And take into account that, outside the GPO, when we're there on a Friday night, there was four other soup runs there. Yet, it doesn't seem to fit into plan with me how it was only the Muslim Sisters of ERA. And I asked them, why are you coming? You know, what's going on? And the HSC said to us, well, pre-COVID, we got two complaints that there's an unregistered soup run outside the GPO. And I said to them, well, there's four soup runs outside the GPO. How do you know it's the Muslim Sisters of ERA that this complaint was talking about? And she said, well, they said the Muslim Sisters of ERA. So I said, so they said the Muslim Sisters of ERA, and you're acting on that, and you're going to ignore the other three soup runs that are there. And they said, well, we have to do our job. Now, when I mean they did their job, they did their job. We had to literally turn our soup run upside down. Everything was got rid of. Everything had to be bought new. We had to put a whole new system into order. Annie Jo Soap that wanted to volunteer with us could no longer do that. And they had to have HSCPP level one training in food and safety. And they had to issue a certificate to me. It's on file in my office before we could take them to volunteer. And then an old dear would come up with a tray of sandwiches, God bless her, for feeding the homeless, and we'd accept them. We can no longer do that. Sandwiches have to come from a HSCP registered kitchen or a restaurant. You know, then all our equipment had to go. Then we were no longer allowed, serve out of big hot pots, what we used to do. So all our food now comes pre-packed in hot containers from restaurants. We have to have a time log of, transparency of where the food came from, when it was picked up, the log, the temperature of it, and when it arrives, the temperature of it. So if you can just think of all that, there was about 30 pieces of a jigsaw, had to all go into one. It took an awful lot of time and it took an awful lot of money on us. So when we see in an article like this and we see Ben Yu using our picture, it was a right slap in the face to our volunteers. And we're like, okay, there are pictures of Muslim Sisters there on social media and he doesn't need our permission to use them. But for God's sake, you're a journalist, do your background search properly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're a picture of a soup run that is in compliance with everything and also a registered charity.
Going to pause the podcast for a moment. It's the beginning of the month. This is when you get to avail of a sample kit, I'd imagine, because you get to pay your £5 and you get a full month. And then you see if you don't like it, you just stop it at the end of the month. It's your trial period, I'd call it, you know.
Jeez, we're not going to make money that way. Sign up for 12 months, Tony. 12 months, do the 12 months option.
I get that. But I mean, if you just want to see what's actually there behind the paywall, there's a lot going on. Last week, you've missed out on podcasts with Cathy Davey and Siobhan Luff. You've missed out on podcasts with the Muslim Sisters of ERA. You know, we do get these out, but they go behind the paywall, to go to patrons, and you get a consolidated RSS feed. So one stop shop, all the podcasts that are on the network come out into your feed whenever we basically publish them, a few minutes after I can put them together. And that's $5.50 a month. So I would say to you, it's the start of the month. Try it now. I know that sounds like we're giving you the sales pitch. Now I want to tell you that we actually would love you to join us, because we really do need the help.
Yeah, we do. We absolutely do. We put these podcasts out so that everybody can listen to them. And the aim is that those who have the few bob can give us the few bob to keep it going for everybody. So just remember that place you have to go to. It's patreon.com/tortoiseshack. And just come on in, sign up for a month. Look, if you don't like it after a month, nobody's keeping you here.
Let you get back to the podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
But for God's sake, you're a journalist. Do your background search properly. Yeah. You know what I mean? You're putting up a picture of a soup run that is in compliance with everything and also a registered charity.
And if I can, I sense your frustration, and I can completely understand it. I mean, listeners will get why when you've said you've had to, you know, you've literally had to change how you did everything to comply with these regulations, and you have done that. But I also found some of the framing of it was quite kind of distasteful in terms of, well, you know, a majority of these people who are there aren't even homeless, you know.
No, but you see, this is why I think where Mary Higgins made a mistake. And I know, and I have to be very honest, through human error, I did a search, because I don't look after the admin part of it. We have a secretary. She's employed to look after all of that. And in the time Mary Higgins was doing her findings, we were in the midst of all of this. I mean, a big changeover. And 3 days ago, because she said in her report, only 4 organisations worked with her. And I was like, well, you didn't contact us. So, you know, what's going on here? So I did a research in our email, and lo and behold, in our Zoom, there was an email from Mary Higgins saying that she wanted Muslim Sisters of ERA to participate in our finding. But you Muslim Sisters of ERA are very much all over the media, on our Twitter, on our Facebook, on our Instagram, on, you just click in Muslim Sisters of ERA and up will come our address, our phone number, all our information. If you really wanted this organization to participate in your findings, look for them and take the phone number and ring them.
Well, I managed to get to you. It's very easy.
There you go. She sent 2 emails and I was like, that's it. See you. Bye. Now, I, you know, going back to your question, like, her findings are just, you know, if she was doing her job correctly, I've always said there's 3 categories of homeless. There's people in homeless accommodation, in hotel accommodation, who are waiting to be housed. There's people in hostels, and there's people on the streets. So you defy to me homelessness there. That is homelessness in a nutshell. And then we have a new poverty. And I've noticed that during the COVID, we've been out all through the pandemic, is the new poverty is COVID poverty. And there's people that have homes that still need help. So you're telling us this person, there's not enough people on the street. You know, look at the homeless situation. If you're in a hotel, it doesn't mean you have a home. You technically don't have a home.
Can I ask a question, Lorraine? It's that we saw during the pandemic, we saw the queues of people down outside the GPO. Has it gotten worse since the restrictions have lifted?
Well, no, it actually got worse when the restrictions were on, because people were still coming out. We, pre-COVID, we would have, through our data and what we buy and what we spend per week and how many hot meals were coming out. Pre-COVID, we used to be able to know how many we were serving a week by buying the bowls and spoons. So you know, if you and cups, how many you're giving out per week and how many you're buying per month. But when HSC came at us and we had to re-register with them, now all our food is pre-packed, but we know how many pre-packed meals we were getting. So pre-COVID, the highest we ever reached was 250. After COVID, right through, the highest we reached was 580. So no, the poverty has got worse on a broader horizon. So and it's not since the restrictions lifted. These 580 would have been last January, right smack when we were 9,000 a day, you know, and we'd 580 people down there. And it was so really, the situation down there was, and I can only say it was horrible. It was horrible on people who in the right mind, Jordan, the huge peak, wants to queue up in O'Connell Street for food.
Can I address a point? And the point is that they're saying that by having the soup kitchen there, you're encouraging people to come and get soup. Now, as you said, there are different kinds of homelessness, but there are also people who aren't counted as homeless in this country, who would be counted as homeless in other countries. They're couch surfing, they're sleeping on a sleeping bag on somebody else's floor. Now, those people may not have access to kitchen facilities or anywhere to cook food. And they also arrived down at the soup kitchens. But did it hurt when they said that you were attracting people to be, you know, in encouraging them to come out and appear to be homeless?
I didn't hurt. It just was frustration more than anything from all our committee. There was a level of frustration right there. I mean, I can't speak for other superintendents. I can only speak for mine. I have a phlebotomist from Tala Hospital there. I have an A&E worker there. I have mothers there. I have a radiographer there. I have people in really demanding jobs come down there on a Friday night, leaving, rushing from hospitals, rushing from work to get there to provide this service. And I suppose the findings of this service was an insult to their volunteering. And that's the way I would look at it.
There's also, I think it was Glenda Harrington of Friends of Helping Friends said basically, and again, this tallies with, we had a conversation yesterday with an Irishman in Moscow, and he talked about soup runs in that he'd seen when he works with children. And the phrase was used that the powers that be want them gone because the queues are politically embarrassing.
Well, the powers to be want them gone. And I've always said that Michael Martin, Leo Vadgar, they should come down on Friday night. You know, if you want to know about your people, come and speak to your people. And that would be my, you know, motto. You want to know about the people. These are your people. These are your forgotten people. These are the people that you want to brush under the carpet and forget about. I mean, again, Friday nights it starts on Wednesday with our organization, and to make sure that everything is up to level and up to the standard. And we're now just apply it to the National Guard Bureau for our charity to be able to guard and vet all our volunteers as well. You know, in recent light of what happened with inner-city help and homeless, you know, now we're going, okay, well, now we need to make sure that all our volunteers are guard and vetted as well, because we are a charity, you know, and we need to comply by certain rules. And I understand that. But you know,
to go back to the politically embarrassing point, you're going through all of these hoops. You're applying for the Garda vetting. Yet we know that charities weren't subjected to Garda vetting, whether they were doing it or not. So, like, you're opting to do all these things, which, you know, should probably have been in place. Nonetheless, you've had to change all of this, and yet the state is not fulfilling its obligation to look after its citizens and is reliant on, unfortunately, the likes of your organization to do it. So why are the state getting off scot-free with stepping away from this, Lorraine?
Because the state will never admit to that they're relying on us. The state will flip the coin and say that we're a hindrance. That's exactly what the state is doing, that superintendents like ourselves are a hindrance. I do understand some of the findings in Mary Higgins's report, and there should be a safety standard for vulnerable people. I understand all of that. But at the same time, don't come, I think it was 80 or something homeless people she spoke to, and that was it. you know, compared to the 580 maximum rate that we fed during the year, you know, and don't take it on 4 soup runs you spoke to. If you're saying there's 20 soup runs, if you really want to do your research, go out and speak to the soup runs. Go out and speak to them. Don't say, well, they didn't contact me or we couldn't get in contact with them. That's then your research is invalid. You haven't done enough.
One of the comments I saw was that, you know, people could have 3 or 4 sets of sandwiches or soup with them and that it was being overdone. But, you know, is that really a problem that people would have 2 sets of sandwiches or 2 bowls of soup? I mean, living on the street is
tough. You know
what?
To me, that is like, ask yourself why someone has taken 2 sets of sandwiches. You know, ask yourself why. I've had people down there and they'd be like, please, please give me 4 hot meals. Actually, I'll tell you what, we did tweet the day before yesterday. On Friday, a colleague of mine was getting married. And I was down in the hotel that morning, helping her sort the hotel and decorate it. And I said to the manager down there, they have a new guy there. And I kept saying, I said it last week and I said it yesterday, I said it Friday, I know his face from somewhere and it's driving me mad. And the manager said, like, we're with that hotel about 8 years. And the manager said, no, Lorraine, you don't know him. He did used to work for us about 10 or 12 years ago, but you don't know him. And I was like, you know, when I know a face, I know a face, and I knew him from somewhere. But I didn't want to go up and say it to him. So I was leaving the hotel and he came after me and he said, Lorraine, he said, can I just say thank you? And I said, for what? And he said, well, I was down and I had no job. He said, I had an apartment, but I had no job and I couldn't pay my rent. But in order to pay my rent, I was told to go to your soup run. And he said, you gave me enough food to last me for 3 days. And I just want to say thank you. And I was like, I knew his face. Do you know what I mean? And there you go. They were 3. I would have given him a lot of food to cover him for 3 days in order to pay his rent.
And that's homelessness prevention.
That's it. Do you know what I mean?
That's homelessness prevention, and that's more important. It's the state needs to cop on to the fact that homelessness prevention is the easiest way to save them money, by the way, and stop the trauma and the anxiety and the mental health issues and all of the problems that people then have when they're forced into homelessness, whether it's calling into Park 8 Street to present as homeless or sleeping on the streets. The nonsense of, I saw someone with 2, Martin, I heard someone say it. He said, I saw someone with 2 sleeping bags and 4 sandwiches. Get in the sea. I've no time for it. People will play systems, game a system, but imagine gaming a system when you're at your very lowest.
It's horrible.
Yeah. Lorraine, if I could ask just sort of last question on this, I suppose, some of the stuff that was said was in terms of the nutritional value of the food and the standards of the food and this food delivery. Now, you've made it clear from the outset that you work to that criteria. In the heel of the hunt, I mean, realistically, we're trying to get people fed in one of the most food secure countries apparently in the world, and there are people going hungry. Do we what sort of, if I can ask just to the details, like what sort of nutritional value do you guys deliver, do you think?
Well, all our food is from restaurants, so it has to be at a high standard, and it has to be, we can't serve anything under 70 degree heat, so it has to be over. Well, it's usually 65, but we've upped it again to over 70. So my motto with our organization is, if you don't eat it, don't serve it. And so, you know, that's very, it has to be something that you would, like, we have some of our workers running and we'd be able to come in straight there and we'd be able to hand them a meal to eat coming straight from work. So our workers are able to eat it. It's on the same level as, again, if you wouldn't eat it, we don't serve it. Our nutritional values, we serve a lot of yogurts. We serve a lot of fruit. We have water. We have protein bars, we have nuts, as I said, all different kinds of fruits. We also do, like for our children, you would have the, you know, the, we have them in cooler boxes, the Derrily Dunkers for lunches, they can come down and get them. We would have snacks for them, again, snack pods for them, sandwiches. There's so much nutrition down there, and we always, always have a section of treats. where we'd have biscuits, cakes, pastries, and chocolates. Because, like, even when you're down, you still love a treat. And I mean, come here, chocolate is like gold down there when they see the chocolate. It's like, it nearly is like on them. Can I have two? Can I have three? And you're trying to make sure that everybody gets some. And then people do come down with their children, and children are standing there looking at that. We don't allow a queue of people there with their children. And we would have someone would go out with a tray of goodies to the children, and they'd pick something off it. Our queuing system, we would have anybody that has with children come to the top of the queue, elderly come to the top of the queue, and anybody that you can see that is visually impaired, like, a, you know, could be blind, could be on a crutch, could be anyway, really, really down, we would bring them to the top of the queue. Just going back to your point there about someone with two sleeping bags, think if someone is sleeping on the street and it rains, that sleeping bag is gone. They've nowhere to go and get their sleeping bag dried and sorted out and so forth and so on. So this is what happens. Think if it's cold and someone has two sleeping bags. Yes, you would need two sleeping bags to sleep on the street. So there's a lot of, you know, although some of her findings, I do understand what she said, but she's not looking at the bigger picture, and I don't think she researched it with enough soupirons. I don't think she went out. She, if you're going to do a research, go out on the grassroots level and speak to these people, not from behind the desk. So that's would be my motto with her.
I also think, Lorraine, the notion that people who are living on a knife edge are gaming a system by getting an extra bowl of soup or an extra sleeping bag. I mean, the people aren't going down. Oh, as you say, old people and people with children aren't going down there because they want to, because they have other choices. They're going down there because they need to. Before we go, can you tell us, have you anything coming up that you want to let people know about?
Well, we have two events coming up. We've Grand Charity Ball. It's a women-only event, and that's been held in the Hilton Hotel at the Charlemont Lewis, and it's a night of diversity and culture. The tickets are €50 each, and that money that has been raised is for our Bag for Life campaign. And our Bag for Life campaign, we do every year. We're in our fifth year for this, and it's like a haversack on the back, on a rough sleeper's back, and in it is a hygiene pack, a COVID pack, hats, gloves, scarves, protein bars, a sleeping bag, and a pop-up tent we would give beside it. And our volunteers go out on Christmas Eve and have been doing this again. This is our fifth year, and we aim to have 150 of them, because Christmas Eve is the most visual time rough sleepers come out, because they beg a lot on Christmas Eve, God bless them, and, you know, people's charity on Christmas Eve. And that's where we would go around Christmas Eve, making sure that they have a survival, and we call them Bag for Life. And the cost of them are €60 each. You can go on to www.msoe.ie and go through the PayPal account and say reference Bag for Life, or you can go on to our donate button in Instagram or Facebook and the same thing. So yeah,
Lorraine, thanks very much for coming on and having this chat with us. And as always, and we know this, you'd like not to be there. You'd like to be there. And we understand that. And we understand that. And the end position is that you're not there, that the government get their act together and help homeless people. Thank you so much, Lorraine, for coming on with us again this morning. It's nice to talk to you again.
Thank you. Have a lovely day.
You
too. Bye.
We will be back tomorrow, folks. Like, we've Cathy Davey from a rescue center for pigs. So that's going to be interesting. And I just want to thank Lorraine O'Connor, who was the founder and chairperson of the Muslim Sisters of ERA, again for talking to us. Talk to you all very, very soon. Take care. Bye bye.
Tony and Martin, Martin and Tony, speaking to interesting people only. It's the Echo Chamber podcast. Subscribe now on Patreon.